is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure our microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, that you use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak. And I will bring members in as listed. Please use the chat facility. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you want to wish or ask a question, or C for comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the chat facility so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Members, I'm sure you've heard the news this evening about the huge tragedy unfolding in southern Turkey and northern Syria, with two massive earthquakes within hours of each other, claiming at the moment over 2,500 lives, with the death toll rising. It's a shocking tragedy. On behalf of Council, I'd like to express our condolences to the people of both countries, many of whom are refugees fleeing war in the region. I'd also like to pass on our condolences to Leanne McAvoy on the passing of her grandfather, Pat Joe Travers, who was laid to rest yesterday, and the late former SDLP councillor in Restrepo, Brian Mulligan, whose wife Pat was also laid to rest yesterday. Members, Friday night saw my chairperson's charity ball, and I'd like to thank everyone involved in making it a huge success that will raise much needed funds for my chosen charities, Southern Area Hospice Society of St Vincent de Paul, Suicide Down to Zero and Semin Community, to the Democratic Services team and senior management team who made the event happen, to those attended, sponsored the event in any way, and those who played any role in what was this fantastic event, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'd also like to extend my congratulations to the team at Clanrye Group for securing the district's third Pride of Place award in a row in Dublin in recent weeks. Such justified recognition for an organisation that has improved the lives of our vulnerable citizens for over the last 40 years. Also, congratulations to Newry Gateway Club, who embarked recently on their celebrations of marking 50 years of changing the lives of young adults with learning difficulties. Our local GA clubs are also to be congratulated in numerous players picking up awards in the Gaelic Life All-Stars, namely Kilcoo's Ryan McAvoy and Aaron Brannigan and Sheelan Johnson, who featured in the team of the year, and Leitrim's Rury and Pierce Oak McCrickard for hurling team of the year. And also congratulations to Clonduff's Katie Morgan, Jenna Bowden, Fionnuala Carr, Paula Hagan and Sarah Louise Graffin for Camogie team of the year, and with the signs of it making up most of it. So those are my opening remarks. Members, in relation to the motions this evening,
yeah.
We have an emergency motion in the name of Councillor Jim Brennan, and I'm prepared to take that motion, but I think we bring it in.
Subject to a vote.
Subject to vote of suspension of standing orders with quantitative majority.
Qualified
majority. Okay, that's what, 80%? 80% of those present. So I would want to take a vote on the suspension of standing orders. Have you all seen the emergency motion? Okay, we'll do that at the time. Okay. All right. Item number three is to set the district rate for the... Apologies. First of all, any apologies this evening?
This is Malone and McAvoy.
Malone and McAvoy, okay. Declarations of interest?
None, Chair.
None, okay. Item number three then, to set a district rate for the financial year 2023-24. May you taking this?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. Chair, just if we could just commence first, I would point out that we have Nora Largy from Legal Services on the call tonight as well. And just prior to me presenting the paper at item three, I would just ask that in accordance with Standing Order 21, Council is asked to agree that this paper would not be subject to call-in because it would cause an unreasonable delay which would be prejudicial to the Council's and the public interests in striking the rate by the statutory deadline of 15th February 2023. I would ask just for proposer and seconder on that.
Proposer and seconder. Councillor Murray. Seconder. Councillor Hannan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Okay, so just in relation to the paper, so in accordance with the requirements of the Local Government Finance Act Northern Ireland 2011, I as Chief Executive and Chief Financial Officer are required to provide assurance to members on the robustness of the revenue estimates and the adequacy of the Council's reserves position as part of the rate setting process prior to submission to the Department for Communities. All members will be aware that detailed estimates have been formulated, presented to and scrutinised by members at the Strategic Finance Working Group. These have taken into account outturns from previous years, corporate pressures, planned savings and efficiencies, current spending plans and projected future investment, and that adequate funding is available to protect frontline services. Members will know there has been 6 Strategic Finance Working Groups since June of 2022, and in addition to that, there have been numerous meetings with parties, party leaders and members in relation to and in preparation for this year's rates process. The action sheets for each of the meetings are attached at Appendix 7. As a result of this extensive process and the detailed analysis that was undertaken, I am satisfied that the estimates presented should provide adequate financial resources to support the running costs of the Council for 2023-24 and that reasonable consideration of the financial risks to the Council have been made in preparation of the estimates. Set out below and highlighted within the paper are the significant uncertainties that we continue to face, and I'm not going to go through those. Members will see them for their reading. In relation to our long-term financing of the Council, I am satisfied that the estimates presented, subject to the significant uncertainties that have been noted above in the paper, should provide adequate financial resource to support the running costs of the Council for 23-24 and that reasonable consideration of the financial risks to the Council as known to us have been made in preparation of the estimates. Members will be aware there remain significant financial uncertainties facing the Council and, I suppose, indeed, the general economy. The impact of 2 economic shocks and the current challenges in relation to land and property service valuation lists could have a significant impact on our rate base, and this is presently, the impact of that is presently unknown. I would refer members of 2.3 to the key factors contributing to the proposed rate increase in 2023 and 24, and again, I don't intend to read those. I would then refer members to 3.1 in the recommendations, and I would ask that members approve the considerations and recommendations of the Strategic Finance Working Group in relation to the 23-24 rate setting process. And having regard to the Chief Executive, myself, my statement as required by the Local Government Finance Act 2011. And I would just say that we would approve an increase in the district rate for 23-24 of 5.99. I would then refer members to recommendations 2 through to 7 and ask that we receive approval on those as well.
Councillor Sharvin, you have a question?
Yes, Chair. Thank you. Chair, the SDLP take their responsibility throughout this process extremely seriously. We've been consistent throughout the process in questioning and holding our officers to account, but more importantly, holding ourselves to account for the ratepayers of our district. Our ratepayers are facing a difficult time. For our household, they face increased costs across the board, be it electric bills, oil and gas prices increasing, the cost of buying the family food shop, and ratepayers I've spoken to recently either face upwards of £250 a month additional or adding 5 years on to their mortgage term. These are significant costs that people are facing every day. Our businesses are being squeezed through the same increases. A local business has seen their costs go from $33,000 a year to over $90,000. The cost of running a construction company faced with material prices spinning out of control and fuel prices being significantly higher. These are bread and butter businesses of our district, and with these increased prices and the potential high council rate, this will impact on their survival. The council exists to help people, and that's what we should be working towards. When you look across the history of this council term, the council has seen a positive surplus of £17,977,081 across the 3 years. If you break that down, whenever it was reported in June 2020, this council had a deficit of £22,919 in that year. At June 2021, this council reported a positive surplus of £9.4 million. In June 2022, we reported for that financial year a positive surplus of £8.6 million. These are all figures from the management account statements that have been presented to this council. If our ratepayer is our shareholder, they have not received any dividend from that surplus, and that hasn't been passed on. When you consider the reserves of this council, on the 31st of March 2018, the council had reserves of £11.8 million. Today, we as a council hold £35.6 million, and that is over £23.8 million of an increase in 5 years. The local government association stated to this council, "I previously observed the need for councils to ensure that sufficient but not excessive reserves were retained to meet the challenges ahead. In the current economic climate where council income has significantly reduced as a result of the COVID-19 crisis, it is very likely that councils may need to utilise their resources in order to continue to deliver local services." And Chair, that brings me to the next area that we as a party have scrutinised at all times. When we consider the MRP this council maintains, a consistent approach of stopping the MRP rising. In 2019, our MRP was at £4.392 million. In 2020, that increased to £4.877 million. And only in 2022, that dropped to £4.244 million. In previous years, it's shown that MRP is a non-payroll cost, which results in it being not an operational or everyday cost and actually a controllable cost. We have heard continuously that reserves cannot be used for everyday costs, and in the SDLP's opinion, the MRP meets the requirement of utilising our reserves. It is expected that from this year to next year, the MRP will rise from £4.244 million to £5.767 million. This is 2.54% on the rate alone. We can stop that rise and reduce the rate hike impact on our ratepayers. Our council set a capital fund up to allocate £1.5 million across 10 years. This was set up to reduce the MRP and, in turn, the rates rises being faced. There was no clear minute that stated when that capital fund would be activated, and in such could rightly start this year. By bringing our capital fund forward to this coming year, we'd see our capital fund activated to do the role it was set up to do. The utilising of £1.5 million from the capital fund this year would see the rate being suggested drop from 5.99 to 3.49. This would lessen the burden on our ratepayer, and the council would be delivering the financial tools responsible now and will ensure that the MRP in the coming years will already be reduced and maintained at an acceptable level. In turn, this would mean year one would be brought forward to this coming year and the 10th year be brought forward a year, meaning it ends a year sooner. Chair, I would ask the Chief Executive and the Chief Financial Officer of this council to provide a reason to why we cannot utilise the capital fund that was set up to stop the rise of the MRP this year and in turn reduce the council rate.
Right.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose members will be aware that there have been a number of queries raised at the Strategic Finance Working Group in relation to reserves, and we have tried to address those in those meetings. In general terms, your reserves are there to both protect the working capital of the Council, but also to allow the realisation of short-medium-term plans for the investment in the district. They're not there, as Councillor Sharvin has rightly referred, to run to fund everyday operations, as that wouldn't be financially prudent. The proposed rate of 5.99 is only being achieved using reserves in 23-24, and I have previously provided, and it is attached within the appendix, the use of the reserves which were provided to the Strategic Finance Working Group and are part of the papers tonight. The use of reserves is a balance, and any use of reserves will impact both the rate in the following financial year and ultimately the delivery of the Council's corporate objectives and ambitions. In relation to the use of reserves in the capital fund to reduce the MRP in 2023, this will directly impact the rate for next year. We have previously demonstrated to members the direct impact on next year with the use of any further reserves, and our current estimates show a projected rate of 10% in 24-25. If further reserves are utilised in 23-24, then that will only increase, and further efficiencies will be required in year in addition to the pay award risks that have already been highlighted to members. The level of reserves depends on the projected financial position at year-end and the level of pay award for 23-24. We've considered the outturns from previous years, corporate pressures, planned savings and efficiencies, current spending plans and projected future investments, and ensuring that adequate funding is available to protect frontline services. As has been advised to members, Council and officers will keep the MRP under review, and indeed all capital projects will be kept under review for affordability and reprofiling during 23-24 and beyond. Projects only impact the rate in the year after the project's building asset comes into use. The MRP charge for 23-24 is impacted by capital expenditure completed in 22-23, and that includes things like our IT transformation, new vehicles purchased, and a few other capital projects. What I would say to members is Council took a decision at a point in, I think it was probably in June or July of last year, to instigate and ring-fence a portion of the reserves for the purposes of capital funds. However, I would also highlight to members that the financial pressures that we face in year, combined with the financial pressures that we have in the coming years, our reserves position is significantly being reduced. And it is the advice of myself and indeed our qualified accountants and director of corporate services that our reserves are need to be stopped being used at this point to ensure that we protect the long-term financial viability of the council. And I'll maybe just bring Josephine in just to clarify just on reserves.
Yes, I have to completely agree with the Chief Executive. We have used reserves to bring the rate to 5.99%, MRP being part of those of expenditure that you're talking about. So it's not that we haven't used reserves. We are using a significant amount of reserves to bring the rate down to 5.99%. And it is a balance. There's a balance for ratepayers. There's a balance for next year as well. You've heard Marie say that it could be 10% and it could be higher if further reserves are used.
Chair, if I could also just clarify, Councillor Sharvin referred to the use of 1.5 million from capital funds in future years to offset MRP. It was made clear to Strategic Finance Working Groups this is not a decision or a position of the Council. It was merely an illustration of how reserves could be used. It is going to be the requirement of the new term of Council to set a strategic direction in relation to our rates. And I would suggest when the election is over, we'll be very shortly after that starting to meet to set a 3 to 4 year plan on how we actually utilise the reserves that will hopefully remain and to enable us to balance the rate moving forward, taking into consideration the ambitious plans of Council in relation to development.
Mr. Sharon.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. And you know, as I continue to say to officers, none of this is against you. We're all working together. But, Chair, could I ask, given that Nora is on from Belfast Legal Services, for a legal opinion that if councillors have the power to use that capital fund as it's set up to be and if the CEO, CFO is not acceptable of such, what does that mean for a councillor?
So hopefully Nora's on the line.
Yes, Nora, go ahead.
Yep. So I think Marie has made, sorry, the chief executive has made the point that you have your chief executive as your chief financial officer and also the other qualified members of staff telling you that this is the appropriate point at which you should not go further into your reserves. Their obligation is to the council and to the ratepayer as well, and they have a very specific role in that regard. So really, if you have that advice and you choose not to act in accordance with that advice, then that regrettably would leave councillors in a very difficult position in terms of potential unlawful decisions, not only in terms of challenge from the auditor, but also in relation to so it would not only challenge in respect of the auditor, but you would also run the risk potentially of individual councillors being found to be personally liable in respect of any financial outcomes in respect of that failure to have regard to that advice. So it is significant advice that you are receiving from your chief financial officer and also from those other people who are, you know, appointed auditors, etc., in the council. So you know, it is a difficult decision. It is a matter of judgment. That is clear. But you have expert advice from those two departments indicating that this is the appropriate point at which it would not be advisable to use reserves. So I would urge extreme caution in not having regard to that advice from your CFO.
Okay, Mr. Sean.
Yeah, Chair, and thank you, Nora, for that. Chair, if possible, could I ask that Nora provides that summary of advice in writing to members and that we recess for a period of time to allow parties to digest that advice and come back?
Well, given the seriousness of the implications of what she's advised, I have no problem in creating a space for a 10-minute recess. If Nora, if you could provide that, please.
Just thinking, Nora, will you be able to write that out? And
well,
I'm not sure my skills are that good, but I will certainly try.
10 minutes from as soon as it's received, if we have a seconder for that proposal.
Seconded.
Councillor Andrews. Okay.
Everybody in agreement?
Well, sorry, Chair Barrett doesn't have the mic or the floor, but for the recording, Councillor Moore is saying, is this new information? Well, it is legal opinion that we have not received in writing. So if I had not asked for that, and if any other councillor had put a proposal forward, then we have not had written legal opinion that would say I could have made a different proposal and got a vote on it. But the right course is to get legal opinion on any position.
Well, as I said, given the potential significant impact on each individual councillor, I think it only prudent that we get that in writing and we have a 10-minute recess for members all to consider it so that when decisions are being made tonight, they're being made against the backdrop of what is legal advice to each member. Okay? So as soon as that comes through, we'll take a 10-minute recess. Are we in agreement? Take the recess now. I'll call you back in 15 minutes. That'll allow time for the thing. Okay, thank you.
we all have tough choices to make. So in conclusion, we are happy to propose the striking of this 5.99 rate, Cormorgan.
Okay, have you a seconder, Councillor Murray?
Councillor Murray, can we ask you to do that speech again? Because we had muted all microphones when we were in recess. I do apologise.
Take a big breath, man.
I do apologise because we were in recess. We turned off all mics.
Right, Chair. On behalf of the Sinn Féin Group on Council, I am content to propose the striking of this 5.99 rate. As a party, we are satisfied that we have scrutinised every penny of Council finances over months of meetings to the best of our ability, and that this rate represents the lowest that we can safely and responsibly go without adversely affecting the services that we all fought hard to put in place for the residents of this district. We have examined the Council reserves and are satisfied that it would be impossible to borrow any more without seriously jeopardising our ambitious capital programme, which will see the delivery of many long-awaited projects in many DEAs. We are further satisfied that when tough decisions had to be made before Christmas, when other councils faced strike action, we dealt swiftly and fairly to support the workers of this council in their demand for fair wages. At 5.99%, we are striking one of the lowest rates across all 10 councils, and I want to thank Una Hanlon for how she chaired the meetings of the Strategic Finance Working Group, and indeed all our councillors who attended every meeting. Also Josephine, Jared and Marie for their diligence. It was at these meetings that the difficult questions were posed about the possibility of additional funds from reserves, about a freeze on recruitment, and about the need to protect our services. Meaningful questions asked with diligence in mind so that we could all collectively arrive at the lowest rate possible in the times that are in it, where we continue to suffer the Tory policy of austerity. The cuts to the rate support grant for councils in the budget set by the British Tory Secretary of State, coupled with the fact that we are at the highest base rate for many years, at 4%, have meant that we all have tough choices to make. This is our tough choice, and I'm content to propose the rate of 5.99%. Gormlagov.
And do you have a seconder, Councillor Murray?
I'm happy to second if I could maybe just come in on the back of it.
Just briefly, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to reiterate the point that Barr had made in terms of the amount of meetings that we've had as councillors and with officials. And we did also have a long and detailed presentation from Treasury advisers this year, given the severity of the financial situation that we find ourselves in. You know, really, Sinn Féin are about protecting frontline services and jobs, and we do well to remember that Newry Morning Down is one of the largest employers in the district. We need to ensure the delivery of our projects right across the district as well, and as Barra also alluded to, there will be something significant happening every DEA in the area. So I just want to thank councillors and officials for the many, many painstakingly meetings that we went through. We went through the finances line by line, and we did try to bring the rate down as low as possible using sound fiscal policy. So happy to second.
Okay. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'll just be brief on this. I suppose from the outset, it's not about questioning officers, and I know from some of the comments that were made in the last few speakers that, you know, the questions were to go forward at SFWG and the extensive meetings that we had with SMT. Can I just state for the record that the question and proposal that we had put forward tonight and the commentary that we had tonight around that line of MRP was put forward at all those forums, including the 12th of January SFWG meeting, and hadn't received an adequate reply. Three times that question was posed on the 12th of January and no reply was given. The reply that was given back was about general reserves when it was a specific question around the capital fund. And I stated on that at that meeting my frustration. So that question was emailed through to SFWG, and I want to thank Josephine for a comprehensive response on that. But again, the ambiguity in response is in the capital fund was something that we highlighted again tonight, and that's why we've asked for legal opinion. The legal opinion has come back and talked about the general fund, and that's the frustration. So, you know, as when Barra talks about, you know, meaningful questions, I can't find a more meaningful question when you're honing in on a specific fund that was set up by the outgoing head of corporate services and the sitting chief executive now 3 years ago to ring fence money from the reserves to use as a capital fund, a specific fund, and also another specific fund set up for COVID economic recovery support fund. Those two funds were set up in collaboration with councillors in order to support people in this district after COVID and to support people going forward by keeping MRP down or keeping the capital finances down. We've been told that that was a tool that we can use going forward, and now we've been told tonight pretty much that that tool is completely fruitless, that we can't use it. Now, we've had a commentary from the chief executive earlier on that when it was put into the lines at the second SFWG meeting in January to use it in 24-25 and going forward at £2.15 million taken out of the capital fund to, I quote, stop MRP from rising, that it was a fund that we used to control costs. And MRP is a controllable cost, although it was outlined as uncontrollable in the 2.54% that it's adding on. So was that decision taken financially irresponsible? Is that not the reason for that fund? So the frustration for us is we've come with a distinct question that we wanted information on, because we as councillors are obliged to use every tool at our disposal to try and get best value for the ratepayer. And that is simply what the SDLP have been doing throughout all these meetings. So when we hear commentary around after an election, it's for the new councillors to come in and put a 3 to 4 year strategy forward. What confidence can we have in putting forward such strategy when tools that we developed as a council are completely useless now to us? We're told that we can't avail of them. So our question was around the specific legalities of using a ring fence fund that was taken out of the reserves and put as a capital fund. We haven't got the adequate answers why that can't be brought forward 2 years earlier and used to try and stop MRP from raising. MRP is putting 2.54% on our rates, and that's something that we could have addressed. Councillors, we must scrutinise every line of the budget and get best value for ratepayers. But without the answers to the questions that we pose for 4 weeks now, without the specific answers, we have to say it's frustrating. And yes, our hands are tied, and we've got legal advice that's general and doesn't answer any of the questions. So I don't know what fate we can put in any of these tools going forward, because they seem to be completely fruitless.
Okay, Marie, do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, sure. Just to clarify it, I'm correct. The capital fund was only put in place in June of 2022, when we were looking at a significant reserve that we held, and prior to the significant financial challenges that we faced. Councillor Byrne is right in relation to the COVID Economic Recovery Fund, which was put in place significantly sooner, and we have utilised. I suppose what we have been saying throughout the Strategic Finance Working Group meetings is that we have been reviewing using the use of reserves for the purposes of, I suppose, trying to keep the rate at a sensible level, but also having a thought to the future processes. And we have said to members that there will need to be a strategy in place for the next 4 years in relation to the use of reserves moving forward. In relation to the reference to uncontrollable, unfortunately, we don't control interest rates, and that's what that reference is relating to.
Okay.
Chair, just, if you don't
briefly,
mind, just back
briefly,
on... Yeah, very briefly, one sentence just back on that. I didn't touch on interest rates, I touched on the MRP, and the question that we wanted answered was, at the second SFWG meeting, Marie, as Chief Executive, you stated that we can use, is our intention to use the capital fund to stop MRP from raising, correct? And secondly, MRP is raising this year to a level that puts 2.54% on the rate. And those two things don't marry.
Chair, again, just for clarity, Council do anticipate that we would use the capital fund to try to have an impact on our delivery of capital moving forward. What we're telling you as councillors is we're looking at everything in the round. The reserves are being used and they can be offset in whatever way the lines are set against, whether it be MRP or other costs this year. So we are using our reserves quite significantly this year, and we will have to put in place a strategy moving forward.
Okay, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Alliance are aware of the difficult conditions under which this rate was struck. Indeed, the issues raised this evening have been addressed at various stages of the Strategic Finance Working Group meetings over the last 6 months. They have been quite an intense 6 months. Given the professional financial advice, and it would seem to me that the stray from this advice would expose ratepayers to higher future risk, any rates rise given the current financial pressures, is not an easy decision to come to. Indeed, there's been much angst over the last few months, and there are three major pressures in which in part drove this. The pay agreement, which was struck in accordance with trade union negotiations for council workers, is a fair deal and one which was taken in order to avoid widespread industrial action, as experienced by other council areas. Utilities costs within our own estate have increased due to the rate of inflation, and the centrally allocated rate support grant has also been reduced by 50%. All of this set the context for what has been an extremely difficult rate to strike and what has ultimately been reactive to external events. Going forward, we understand the need to look at various planned capital projects as to whether they are indeed viable in this current financial context. To our frustration also, where we have over time suggested means by which to reduce our utilities expenditure via renewable resources, these have not so far been progressed. The rate which is being set has been a reaction to events. Going forward, the Alliance will require the delivery of tangible financial improvements in relation to the green economy. We aim over the coming years to ensure that they are implemented in order to benefit both the ratepayer but also the sustainability of our district within our planet. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. I have a point of order there from Councillor Tinley.
Yes, quick one, Chairperson. You recessed the meeting at 6:30 for 15 minutes so we could be updated with an email. Can I ask when is the email going to arrive? It's now 7:25 and the meeting has restarted.
Okay, all I know is that the groups who were here, it was hand-delivered to them, Councillor Tinley, because you're remotely, it wasn't given to you, I presume.
Can I ask,
can that be addressed? Or are we past that point now? I think policy
Chair,
is...
Could I make a point of order? Is it possible that the legal opinion be shared on screen? And we go into committee then for those that are...
Yes, Councillor Tinney, I was just going to suggest that, Councillor Sharp, and I think we go into committee and we can either put it on screen or we could read it out, whatever suits members. So, can I have a proposer and seconder to go in? Councillor Sharp's proposal to go into committee. Can we have a seconder?
Sure.
Seconded by Councillor McAteer. Okay.
Chairman, can you let me come back in there?
Sorry, go ahead.
Listen, thank you for bringing a wee bit of clarity there, but this is totally unacceptable. So what I'm taking from what you've just said is that this email was duly circulated to the chamber.
No, there was a hard copy given to each group or grouping within the chamber or independent in the chamber.
But Chairman, there's 41 councillors on this call and every one of us have an equal voice and an equal vote here tonight. So I want to put on record my unhappiness at what has happened here.
Well,
I called a recess at 6:30 for 15 minutes.
And I was
it's
under
not,
the
it's not on, Chairman.
Yes, sorry, Councillor Tinley. I was under the opinion that people who weren't in the chamber got sight of it. So you're telling me now that they haven't. So what I'm going to do now is go into committee. Was proposed by Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor McAteer, to allow you and others who haven't seen the legal advice to look at it on the screen now, and I'll come back to you with your point of order. Is that fair enough? Councillor Tinley, you've got a point of order. Is there another point you wanted to make on that?
No, Chair. That's clarity, and thank you for your intervention.
No problem. Appreciate it, and thank you for raising that issue, and apologies, I was unaware. Okay. We'll go back now as per the list. Councillor Hanna.
Chair, thank you very much. We in the DUP Britain have considered everything that's taken place, so we have, and we commend the officers for all the hard work they've done. They started from a very hard point, a very high point. They worked on it for a considerable amount of time. And we still feel that there could have been some more efficiencies made there and money saved in that direction, so we could. So at this point in time, now we will not be voting for this strike on this rate, we'll be abstaining. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Reilly.
Thanks, Chairman. Chairman, as my colleague Glenn has pointed out, we are concerned. And we have a genuine concern, even on the fact that we're dipping into the reserves to the extent we are. And my rates are £200 a month at the minute. What will this save me as a ratepayer? It's something like £6 a month. It'll be a £14 increase instead of £20. And I don't think it's justifiable. And then we hear the SDLP talking about the minimum revenue provision. And do people, do councillors realise that's the money that we pay back on the council's mortgage to central government on cheap loans? I don't know what the interest rate's going to be in a year's time, but I definitely want to guarantee that our capital projects go ahead. And if we don't have that minimum revenue provision in place, we'll be in serious trouble if there is even a slight rise in rates. And I thank Josephine for pointing out and explaining some of the intricacies of this, because I wasn't fully aware. And I appreciate Marie Ward, our Chief Executive, updating us as we went along and having our meetings. And we did, Marie, I'm sure you will agree, we did point out our concerns, even that, this step into our reserves, because nobody knows how things are going to be in a year, 18 months, 2 years' time. But Glenn's already explained our reasoning behind it, but the minimum reserve provision, if the SDLP want to mess that about, they're not looking into this and being realistic. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. It was a sigh there. I hope that wasn't the fact that I was speaking.
No, I just thought I was hearing a bit of a contradiction in terms there.
Go ahead. Chair, thank you. Chair, listen, I don't think any of us have went into this process and lightly, and it's certainly, you know, I'm into my 12th year in local government here now, and it's certainly the most challenging year that I've found in terms of discussions that have taken place regarding the race process. We've faced a number of challenges. Some of them have already been outlined. Some of them were out of our control, but whether we like it or not, we as a council had to face up to those challenges and find a way of trying to address the financial implications of what was before us. I want to thank the officials for the work that they have done to date in respect of getting us to a point that at this stage we are where we are with that. You know, I would, in an ideal world, we would like to be at a far lower rate, but unless something materialises between now and agreeing this, or between, and I haven't seen anything else coming forward, even in the strategic finance working group meetings that we've had, that would bring a significant difference to this. We're in a position where I think we've stretched it probably as far as we can, and I'm not happy at that, because I think a 5.99% rate is concerning to all of us, but it's where we are at this stage, unfortunately. And for us to be in a position to make sure that we're protecting our frontline services, that's obviously the most vital component of any council, because we don't want to make any decisions that impact on the services that we offer to our ratepayers. We also have plans to obviously regenerate and bring development into the district. And again, we could have debates about the pros and cons of them, and as to whether they're value for money, but at this stage we want to proceed and try our best to bring forward proposals and measures that will try to bring forward investment into this district. Again, whoever is returned after the election in May, they will have decisions to make in that regard as well as we go forward, because these financial challenges will not disappear after tonight. They will continue to be something that we'll have to bear in the time ahead, and as I say, whoever the 41 councillors may be, whenever they're returned after May, they will have to face those decisions going forward. But I just want to thank the officials for the work that has been undertaken. It has been a challenging process, as I've already said, and it's not something that anybody gets any enjoyment out of, because it's a very, very difficult and very comprehensive, you know, discussion that takes place in the various meetings that did occur. And we all face scrutiny, we face challenges by the decisions that we take in that regard. But as I say, there has been various opportunities to bring forward measures to try and reduce this. I'm at a point I don't see where any other, you know, measures can be brought forward, but if someone has them, I would like to hear them. But we are where we are, but I just want to thank the officials in particular for the work that they have undertaken to try and advise us and keep us right as well in a very difficult and very challenging process. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm not going to repeat the points made by our party leader, but I'm indirectly picking up what Councillor Taylor said. We agree to support these rates very much on the understanding, this rate increase, very much on the understanding that there would be a proposal brought forward per our motion last year, which was supported by Una Hanlon, that there would be a target set for the green economy to save expenses to council, to give revenues to council and broaden the rates base of council at 1 million for next year, 5 million for 2025 and 10 million for 2030. No reference has been made to these targets we set for management, and we passed that motion because the previous target of April 22 was not met either. Now, I noticed that in item 4 on the agenda tonight, neither of those two motions are shown as outstanding action items. Now, I think a more useful piece of legal advice tonight would be where councillor sets specific financial targets for specific dates for management, to what extent management are obliged to follow the direction set by councillors on a cross-party basis. You know, we've had a lot of advice about our role and our duty as councillors tonight and the threat to us were we to go beyond the bounds of fiscal prudence. But we've heard nothing about targets set for management, and it's not on the item 4 on the next agenda. So, you know, we need management to play their role here. And we've suggested total savings would amount to over £10 million a year if it was taken seriously. And we still have not received an answer. And the requirement by management to give us that answer isn't even on item 4 or outstanding items from council meetings. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McKee. You there, Harold?
Thanks, Chair. Thank you. Tonight, obviously, has been a difficult night, and for a number of meetings. Now, unfortunately, I did not get to them all. There was talk that we maybe get some of our meetings pushed back a bit later, but that didn't seem to happen. But overall, I would certainly want to thank the Chief Financial Officer and other seniors within our council for working through this in such a difficult time, bearing in mind that 5.99% an increase, it is the lowest of all the other councils. That doesn't say it's right, but if that's the best that we can come up with, and everybody has taken a hit, you know, and indeed myself, for 2 years, I was a full-time councillor, and I needed a bit more money. So I went out to a bit of a job, and that left me late to, I couldn't always get to meetings. But one of the things I didn't want to see happening was the reduction of capital spend. And I think everyone, every councillor would be parochial in that sense, that they wouldn't want to see anything being reduced when everything's so much in need. And I have to thank Nora for her legal advice, which I was disappointed at the start when I was keeping waiting. I was keeping waiting on it coming through. I wondered what was going on. And thanks to Councillor Tinley for raising that. And now, we didn't get a lot of time to read it, but I think it's self-explanatory. When you do read what's on it, you just have no option. You're not only accept it. So I, as a TUB councillor, would say I would accept what is on that 5.99%. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Hannah Legend again, briefly. Yeah.
Just briefly, I just want to point out as chair of that group that all those meetings were in the evening to accommodate the people that did work during the day, just as a point of clarity.
What time was the evening?
5:15, Harold.
Well, I was just had to go on to 6, unfortunately.
Okay. Okay, folks. There's obviously a difference of opinion in the room, so we're going to go to a roll call vote. That's okay. Sarah?
Councillor Andrews?
I'm going to abstain, but I just want to let you know I'm not happy about the whole show. Thank you.
Councillor Bowsey? Councillor Bowsey?
Councillor Bowsey?
Sorry, Jim, can you just turn
Can you turn your off?
It's just okay. A little bit of
Councillor Bowsey, for the record.
Abstain.
Councillor Brennan?
4.
Councillor Burgess?
4.
Councillor Byrne? Abstain. Councillor Clark?
4.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin?
Abstain.
Councillor Enright?
Four, but noting comments above.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Gallagher?
Abstain.
Councillor Gibbons?
Abstain.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Jackson?
Abstain.
Councillor Kearns?
Four.
Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Abstain.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone's absent. Councillor McAteer?
Abstain.
Councillor McAvoy's absent. Councillor McKee?
Four.
Councillor McKevitt is absent. Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor Murphy? Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Murray?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Abstain.
Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Rowan?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Abstain.
Councillor Sharvin?
Abstain.
Councillor Stokes?
Abstain.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tinley?
Abstain.
And Councillor Traynor?
Abstain.
So I have 21 votes for, none against, and 17 abstentions.
Okay, that's duly carried at a rate of 5.99%. And just the comment that it's very important that we do have these discussions. I know it's gone on tonight, and I apologize for the length of time it has taken folks to get that, but it's very important that these things are interrogated and members go out of here with the view that they've done all they can. These are very difficult times. There's been a lot of work been put into it by all councillors, those who've attended every meeting of the SFWG, but also to our Chief Financial Officer and our other officers, senior officers, who put huge work in to getting this. I know the challenge we faced at the start of this process was huge, and where we're sitting now is a credit to the work that's been done there. I know there's some frustrations in the chamber, but that's democracy, and we are where we are, so we move on now to item four. Councillor Murray, sorry.
Chair, just wondering if you're abstaining on this, should the statement from the council go out in somebody else's name who's supporting the rate?
Well, I'm the chair of the council and I respect the democratic process.
That's okay.
Item number four is the action sheet from council. I'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Can a proposer and seconder for accuracy?
So propose.
Councillor Kern. Who's seconded? Councillor Andrews. I need to chat, folks. It's very difficult to chair this meeting with so many people remote. So if you want to come in, please use the remote, the chat. Yeah. Okay.
Can I make my point, Chairperson?
Yes, go ahead, Councillor Henry.
Thank you, Chairperson. We've passed two motions on setting financial targets from the Green Economy for Management. The first one had a deadline of April 2022.
What's this relate to, Councillor Henry?
These targets are not reflected in the sheet for other motions. Notice of motions were passed by council, have actions associated with them, and they're waiting to be done. Both the motions where we set financial targets for senior management are not reflected in the action sheet, Chairperson. Other motions of less importance are. Thank you.
Ray, do you want to respond to that?
Chair, we are aware of Councillor Enright's notice motion. I need to check why it's not on there. Happy to do so. And I do know that Josephine has been liaising with Councillor Enright on that notice motion, and there's an intention to bring a paper back. There you go. If it was referred to committee, it wouldn't appear on the council action sheet, so that explains.
Yeah, sorry, Chair. It'll appear on the action sheet of the committee that it was referred to. And I can let Councillor Enright know which committees they were after the meeting.
Okay. Councillor Byrne, you had a question?
Yeah, on page 4 and 5 of the action sheet, it's around the letter on Ireland's Ancient East to the Minister Catherine Martin. I had requested at the last meeting that a copy of the letter that is sent to her be included in the correspondence as well as the reply. And I know later on there's a holding reply from that acknowledges the letter, but I asked for the copy of the letter from the council that was sent in order to keep communications with other councils who were bringing similar motions and what we're specifically asking for. So if that can be brought to the next council meeting along with the response from Councillor Martin, I'd be happy enough.
Yeah, sure, that's fine.
Okay, Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I would share Councillor Cadogan's worries that some things are represented in the action sheet and some aren't. I understand what you have said, Marie. I would have some sympathy with what Cadogan says because green energy in that area is important in the future, and this council needs to be to the fore of it, providing us the correct projects. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Hannah. Okay. Item number 5 is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 9th of January. You can see them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15. Can a proposer? Page 16, page 17, page 18, page 19. Can a proposer and seconder, please, for accuracy? Councillor Stokes, seconder. Seconder for accuracy, please. People, somebody was at the meeting. Councillor Andrews. Okay. Sorry, Councillor Sharvin. Okay. Any matters arising? No. Okay. Item number 6 of the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 16th of January 2023. Go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13. Can a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Curran, Councillor McAteer.
Oh, no, sorry,
Councillor Scherzinger. Sorry, Councillor McAteer, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, it was just on, actually, not long
ago. Sorry, give me a second, folks. These are all the way.
Sorry, it was proposed by Councillor Hannah and seconded by Councillor Burgess.
That's right, sorry. Councillor Hannah, Councillor Burgess, sorry, the chat moved away up there. These are all quick on the fingers than I. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Several of I volunteered, I can tell you. All right. So, comment there from Councillor McAteer.
Yes, it's only just on the tourism, culture and events, the Newry Architectural Heritage Project that's being proposed there. I must say, as chair of the planning committee, I actually get numerous interventions, queries, questions and statements about Newry and its architectural heritage and the fact that a lot of it has been torn down as such, you know, without any, recognition of its true historical importance of this. And I do think this is a very valuable project in that, like, a lot of the buildings in Newry just aren't, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, listed in the normal grade A, grade B, etc. And I do think this is really, really, really encouraging because there is so much about Newry actually that needs protected. I need to look around in all the little streets and the historical side of things. There was buildings that, you know, for example, Di Valera was in at some stage, just for one thing. So there's that great tapestry of history in Newry, and I do think the preservation of that and even the note of it and the documentation of it all, I really think that's a fantastic project. We're, you know, not too sure where it came out of, but certainly be welcomed anyhow. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Andrews? No? Okay. All right. We move on then to item number 7, which is the minutes of the Audit Committee. So then for accuracy. That's item page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. A proposer and seconder, Councillor McAteer and Councillor Bowsey. Okay, any matters arising? thought after all that financial scrutiny tonight, there might be somebody out there who want to have a look at. Okay. All right, I'll not encourage you anymore. We've had enough tonight. Okay. Move on to item number 8 with the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 19th of January. Go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Poser and seconder? For accuracy? Accuracy first, yeah. Councillor Byrne, Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Reddy.
Chairman, thanks very much, Chairman. I saw in the notice of motion establishment on All Ireland Citizens Assembly. We still believe, Chairman, that this should be subject to a full equality impact assessment. We would propose that tonight, Chairman. It's not too much to ask of our own equality officer. And whenever this was discussed a way back in 2022, that was the indication that we had got, that it would be subject to a full equality impact assessment. So that's the proposal, Chairman, that we would like to make tonight.
I'm happy to sign it, Chair.
Okay. Just bear with me a second. We'll come back through the record just for clarity.
Chair, Councillor Riley had asked just in relation to this matter, and I had a response from our officer who deals with equality. If this is a proposal, I would need to take time to look at it, but if this is a proposal of the Council tonight, I would need to provide advice back through SPNR just in relation to that matter, if Councillor Riley is okay with that. Yeah, so are you content that I bring the advices back in relation to that through SPNR? Yeah. Can you just, for the mic, say yes, okay?
Okay, I accept your recommendation.
You.
Okay, item number 9. Sorry. That's the worry.
Chair, at SPNR, it was clearly stated that there was no intention to chip away at anyone's political, religious or cultural beliefs. Mm-hmm. And quite often in the chamber, unionist councillors will point to the fact that they sometimes believe that their Britishness is being chipped away at. I would just like Henry in this instance just to reflect on the efforts that we go to when we're bringing a motion to try and make it, to try and ask for mutual understanding and respect. I don't mind if he gets it called in for equality impact. I have no doubt whatsoever that our officer will come back and say this doesn't adversely affect anybody in the district. But I just think I don't know what it's for, because when we bring the motions, we try and use the type of language that dissuades anyone from feeling that they're being isolated or victimised.
Okay. Well, there's agreement that that'll be brought back through SPNR.
Chairman, can I just point out?
Just briefly, Councillor.
We have no problem with cultural issues, but we believe this is clearly sets a political agenda, and it sets a very high point of emphasis on a United Ireland, which we obviously oppose because we want to remain within the United Kingdom. So we believe that it's impossible for us to be part of that committee, and it is politicising the council and the resources of this council in that it is promoting a political ideology. It's nothing to do with culture or Irishness or Britishness. It's what this council promotes, and the perception from the non-nationalist community and how this council operates. And that's why we believe it should be subject to a full equality impact assessment. Marie's going to check that out and we'll discuss it then. But yeah. I want to assure Barrett I respect your Irishness 100%. It's nothing to do with that whatsoever.
Okay, well, Marie, bring that back to the next SPNR. Is that okay, Marie?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah, sure, that's no problem.
Item number nine.
Sure, very briefly, I'd ask for a comment on that. Yep, just very briefly. No, just to follow on from what Henry said there, I think any opposition that we have outlined, and I outlined my opposition at the recent SPNR meeting, it's always been based on constitutional reasons. There's never been any discussion about culture or people's people's sense of culture. It's always been about the constitutional position and the fact that we feel the council in supporting such measures is actually taking a form of opinion in terms of where the constitution should lay with regards to Northern Ireland. And obviously, as committed unionists, we want to maintain our place within the United Kingdom, and we'll continue to argue for that as long as we will and can. So I think it needs to be made very clear that this is about the constitution and the fact that the council, in taking supportive decisions to take part in these type of forums, it ends up alienating a section of the community that actually believes in the union with the United Kingdom. And that's where the concerns are, the genuine concerns about that and about the fact that the council, in a sense, has taken a corporate policy of supporting a particular constitutional viewpoint. So that's why there is a need for an equality assessment to be undertaken on these type of decisions. But it has been agreed to say it will be brought to SPNR, so we'll look forward to that opinion next month.
Ray, do you want to come back?
Yeah, Chair, just to clarify for members as well, that there has been an equality screening done on this, but I will bring the detail of that back through SPNR for members, okay?
Okay. Item number nine is the minutes of the Active Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 23rd of January 2023. I'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Gallagher and Councillor O'Hare. Any matters arising? Nope. Okay. We'll move on to item number 10 with the minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 25th of January 2023. Go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Can a proposer and seconder, please?
Chair, can I just point out to you, we don't have them. Not on my laptop.
There's only four pages.
Aye, but still they're not there. Nope, not mine, am I? All right, well, I haven't got them.
Proposed by Councillor Stokes. Can I have a seconder, please? Sorry?
Hasn't
gone through, innit?
Oh, right, okay.
Before item 10. That's okay.
But so it's actually Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor Andrews.
Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Andrews. Okay, folks. Okay. Item number 11, it's the planning section. There are no papers. Okay. Item number 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 are all matters of correspondence. Is anybody any issues you want to raise with any of the matters of correspondence?
No,
which item?
Chair, just a wee comment, just briefly. I've seen a couple of letters in from other councils in relation to the cost of living and to workers' tips and all, and I'd like to thank those councils for replying and for offering their support in such important issues at the moment. So very much
agenda, what are the agenda items of those?
Was it on the letters, correspondence? Unless I've jumped the gun a wee bit, sorry, Chair.
No, it is correspondence. Which ones?
It's actually 13, 14, and 15.
The cost of living crisis, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd like to thank all concerned for their support so far.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Byrne.
Yeah, item 16, Chair, the letter to the Permanent Secretary of DFC. I just want to ask a question around the rate support grant. Obviously, we're asking for it to be reinstated to its normal level. Is there any update from that, and is it that the officers or SMT anticipate that it will be further cut by, I know we've talked in SFWG, but further cuts of 25% on top of what we have this year. Is that still
the anticipation that it will be further cut or kept at the level that it is now, which is a significant cut in the first place.
Chair, I suppose what I would say to members is that the councils that are involved in and receive rate support grant are actually lobbying very hard, obviously, for the reinstatement of the rate support grant. As far as whether it will be further cut, I simply couldn't comment, but it should be noted within our rates papers that we have referred to the risks associated with the rate support grant moving forward, but I couldn't comment, so it is a risk we see.
Okay. Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just a couple of comments regarding the reply from Steve Baker. I think that was a response to my notice of motion regarding cervical cancer and the differentials between the rest of the UK and also the south of Ireland. I suppose the Minister may as well not have bothered. There's no detail, no information, and doesn't answer what the notice of motion had asked for. And I suppose, Chair, just yet again, females in Northern Ireland are losing out in the way that matters the most. And I would again take this opportunity to appeal to those blocking devolution to go back to work, back to Stormont, and back to trying to help this society and the place that we all call home. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. No further comments in the correspondence? Okay. Okay, can propose and seconder to note the correspondence, please. Councillor Burgess. Seconder. Councillor Kern. Okay. Councillor Gallagher, Councillor Devon. Okay. Somebody's got their mic on. Bit of house music going on in the background there, guys. Right. Okay. Item number 22 is the notice of motion on the local development plan received from Councillor Hanlon. This has been referred to ERT. Councillor Hanlon, if you could read out your motion and advise who's seconding it, please.
Thank you, Chair. It's seconded by Councillor Clark. So the notice of motion is up around the local development plan, Uri Mourne and Down District Councils responsible for the preparation of a development plan for the district and has commenced work on the Uri Mourne and Down local development plan. The LDP will provide a 15-year plan framework to support economic and social needs in the district in line with regional strategies and policies while providing the delivery of a sustainable development. We commend the work our council planning staff and the diligent work to date by members of the planning committee in the preparation of the plan. However, we are concerned the plan will not meet the huge housing need within the district. The council's preferred option papers cites 10% of all households in the district reside in social housing tenure compared to the NI average of 15%. However, the need for social housing in the district has remained at a very high level since 2010 with a 31% increase from 2012. This council is committed to ensuring housing need is met within the district and therefore will commit to developing a housing-led regeneration plan through strategic assessment and use of public sector land assets and adjoining private sector lands. Members will be consulted and included within the development of the strategy and good practice evidence will be gathered from similar councils to inform its development. Thank you.
Councillor Clark will be seconding. Okay. Item number 23 is the notice of motion recreational sea angling strategy from Councillor Clark. It's been referred to AHC committee. Councillor Clark, you want to read out your motion and advise who's seconding it, please.
Thanks, Chair. This council welcomes the increasing popularity of sea angling along the Down Coast, recognises the potential for increased tourism and the benefits this will bring to the local economy, calls for the development and introduction of a recreational sea angling strategy in consultation with local fishermen and the relevant agencies, such as a strategy should aim to promote sea angling in a safe, sustainable way and capitalise on the opportunities for the local economy that an increase in sea angling would deliver. Thank you, Chair.
And who's seconding your motion, Councillor Clark?
Councillor Hanlon.
Just happy to second.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion number 24 is a notice of motion, Northern Ireland Electricity Suppliers, in the name of Councillor Lee Serginer. This has been referred to...
It's been heard.
It's been heard, sorry, apologies. Yeah, it's been heard this evening. So, Councillor Serginer, will you read out your motion, speak to it, please, and advise who's seconding it?
Thank you, Chair. This motion will be supported by Councillor Andrew McMurray. This council notes with ongoing concern the cost of living energy crisis inflicted on our fellow citizens, hampered by the ongoing non-functioning of the Northern Ireland Executive and Assembly, the lack of rollout of smart meters by Department for Economy, and agrees that more needs to be done by Northern Ireland electricity suppliers to address these issues. In light of the demand flexibility service being implemented in Great Britain to avoid blackouts and provide savings for consumers, this council should write to Northern Ireland Electricity and all electricity suppliers, encouraging them to work collaboratively to introduce a similar scheme encouraging consumers to avoid using electricity during peak times and begin rolling out smart meters for all households. Thank you.
Speak to the motion, Councillor Serginer.
No, I think it's okay.
Who's seconding the motion? Councillor McMurray. Can you second it, Councillor McMurray? See the microphone, please.
I second this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Brown, do you have a comment?
I would agree that it's important to address the cost of energy, but I have quite a number of issues with this motion and how it's written. Firstly, I think it's odd to criticise the lack of an executive for the cost of energy and at the same time support a protocol that prevents energy prices in Northern Ireland being cut by 5%. Then in terms of the smart meters, I think we need to be careful about overstating the savings of smart meters. They don't affect how much energy you're using, and they don't affect how your energy tariff. They really only give better accuracy around on billing. There's data collection issues there as well. The motion then asks for Northern Ireland energy suppliers to address these issues. I don't think it's clear what the issues are that are being referred to. Are you wanting suppliers to address the lack of an executive? Or are you wanting them to address the lack of smart meters, which you allude to is the responsibility of the Department for Economy? And then lastly, in relation to the demand flexibility service, that scheme is, as far as I understand, is the responsibility of National Grid. NI energy suppliers would have little to no impact and little to no ability in implementing such a scheme. So I don't think it's a good use of the council's time and resources to be writing to energy suppliers. So I think while the motion is well-intentioned, I feel there are too many problems with the motion that would allow us to support it or even amend it.
Okay, Councillor Sharon.
It was me there, Chair. I looked at David looking at me, but Chair. Look, a smart meter is really there to show energy residents what they're using in a real time, and it can help identify the appliances and the activities that cost the most. So there is an opportunity that it can show how much a resident has been charged per day or week. So it can help you to sort of keep on top of rising energy bills. But Chair, there is another flip side of a smart meter, and charities have publicly stated this, that they are seeing and hearing rising reports of smart meter anxiety. You know, Age UK and the disability rights charity Scope have stated that although smart meters can help with budgeting, they can also have a negative impact on people's mental health. You know, they're stating that residents are repeatedly checking their smart meter, worrying about what it means for their finances and actually feeling out of control. For any rollout, you know, there must be clear instructions during installations and better phone support for those who are worried, particularly for the older people. The smart meters are becoming a frightening reminder of just how unaffordable their energy bills currently are. is actually stated in NIE's and Par-NIE's websites, if you just Google it, that the Department for Economy has no plans at present to install smart meters in the north, whereas in the south and in GB there are programmes. Chair, I would have felt that this probably would have been better suited to ask an NIE at our special council meeting last week as well, where they were present to provide us an update and ask them directly also, have they made representations to the department or is there any envisaged to install smart meters? I'm not going to be as harsh as the previous councillor before me because I will put an amendment in that there is an opportunity that we do write to the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Economy, Mike Brennan, to understand what is the department's plans for the smart meters being rolled out across the north.
Okay, Councillor Lee Sojan, are you prepared to accept that amendment?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you all. Yes, I am happy to accept the amendment.
Okay. Councillor Riley?
Thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, firstly, in terms of the cost of living crisis, I think this council should put on record our sincere gratitude to Sir Geoffrey Donaldson and the DUP team in Westminster for the brilliant work they've done in getting the £600 payment to every household in Northern Ireland. And done in a way, Chairman, that exceeds the benefits in either GB or the Republic of Ireland. Chairman, also on the in terms of smart meters, when we met with NIE last week, I actually asked them about the provision of smart meters. The reply was that they had done a test rollout on 1,000 homes and they're analysing those results and will be probably rolling them out in the near future throughout Northern Ireland. I'm actually opposed to the smart meters, Chairman. They provide unwarranted privacy violations and safety issues, and I don't know what health issues my colleague's talking about, but certainly the extreme Wi-Fi that it takes to send the signals has been cited as a possible health concern. So why actually increase the possibility of having ill health whenever there's no need for it? And it's the loss of sovereignty, personal sovereignty, and control of property in our own homes. Whenever a smart meter can go in and switch off your washing machine if you're doing too much washing, you know, that's a very, very serious violation of a person's personal sovereignty. And I would be totally opposed to it. And also, if you look at England, where it's been rolled out in many areas, there hasn't been any significant savings to consumers. So why go through all those risks, be it health risks or risks to your personal sovereignty, for no return, no financial return? It doesn't make sense. But, Chairman, that's only a comment. We'll see what NIE come back with, but certainly I wouldn't be pushing smart meters in Northern Ireland.
Just for clarity, Councillor Andrews seconded the amendment from Councillor Sharvin on the chat. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, I maybe would have liked a bit an explanation as to where you were on this, if I'm being honest with you, David. You know, so, because I had some, you know, concerns, and I think I felt there was a need for clarity on some of the issues that is outlined in this motion. Because I'm not convinced the smart meters will be the magic, you know, magic potion that would deliver all these savings that you hope, you know, as you've outlined in your notice of motion. But I think the fact that we're going to correspond with the Permanent Secretary, you know, hopefully, or NIE, sorry, it is, isn't it? And the Permanent Secretary, we correspond with them and try and get some additional information and clarity as to where they are. I'm happy enough to support that and see where that takes us.
Okay. I have no other speakers. Councillor Lee Sergeant, you want to sum up?
Well, thank you so much for all the comments. Thank you for the amendment, Gareth Sharvin, Councillor Sharvin. Basically, from my point of view, I suppose that the smart meter isn't really designed to give us 20 or 30 pounds discount every month or every 2 months. It is solely for proof that if the electricity suppliers do roll out the demand flexibility service, that we as consumers can prove that during peak times we weren't using electricity. That's it. That's what the smart meter is going to do. Because at the moment, all they're relying on is a meter reading at a certain point, and that's it. There's no proof to say, oh, we didn't use electricity during 6 p.m. because we were at a council meeting. There's no proof of that. The only proof is a smart meter that can prove and real-time tracking for to say we didn't use electricity during that time. Therefore, we qualify a discount.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the only comment. Thank you
very much for your motion and for the amendment, Councillor Sharman. So we have the amended motion. Have you got the wording, Councillor? Or Sarah, in relation to Councillor? Councillor, it's been a long night.
No, thanks. Just to clarify, it's at the end of the motion. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You got the wording okay? Okay. All right, so we have division in the chamber, so we'll take a roll call on it on the amended motion.
For the amendment, Chair.
For the amended motion.
Yes, thank you.
So standard motion now that the amendment was accepted.
Councillor Andrews? Councillor Bowsey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Burgess?
For.
Councillor Byrne?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Gibbons?
For.
Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Jackson?
Against.
Councillor Kearns?
For.
Councillor King?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Mullins absent. Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt?
For.
Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor Murphy? Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor O'Murray?
For.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
For.
Councillor Wan?
For.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Stokes?
For.
Councillor Taylor?
For.
Councillor Tinley?
For.
Councillor Traynor?
For.
So I have 33 for and 6 against.
Julie carried. Okay. Item number 25 is a notice of motion on holiday homes in the name of Councillor Tinley, which is going to go to ERT. Councillor Tinley, can you read out your motion, please, and advise who's seconding it?
Thank you, Chairman. This council recognises that within our district, holiday home ownership is increasingly having a detrimental effect on the ability of first-time buyers to own a house in the area where they were born and raised. The long-term consequences of this may have a negative impact on local school populations, sports clubs, small family businesses, and the general growth, well-being and sustainability of some of our towns and villages, particularly along the coast, as new and young families with generational ties to their own area are priced out of living in the place they call home. Further to a recent public statement from the Department for Infrastructure that whilst there are currently no plans to change any laws in relation to this problem, it is their view that local councils have the power to make bespoke arrangements within their own district. To that end, this council will now instruct our officials to bring forward a paper at the earliest opportunity outlining exactly what powers will be contained within our proposed development plan to directly address this problem. Powers that, if robustly applied, would discourage the purchase of holiday homes. within our district, and Councillor Hannah was going to second that.
Probably the second, Chair.
Yeah. Thanks, Councillor Tenney. Okay.
Thank you.
Item number 26 is a notice of motion on school street schemes in the name of Councillor Sharvin. It's going to be heard this evening. Councillor Sharvin, can you read out your motion and speak to it and advise who's seconding it, please?
Yep, thanks, Chair. Motion reads, notes that the school street schemes in the Republic of Ireland and GB, which closed the roads outside schools during drop-off and pick-up times, have the multiple benefits of improving road safety for pupils, encouraging active travel to school by walking, cycling and public transport, and improving the air quality around schools. Commends Fingal County Council, which has successfully pioneered the scheme at many schools in North County Dublin, recognises that we do not have the statutory powers to introduce such a scheme in Uriemore and Down, either in pilot or permanent form, calls on the Department for Infrastructure to bring forward urgently a school streets pilot project in Uriemore and Down, identifying a number of pilot schools across the district. Agrees that the DEA forms will agree a number of schools in each area to recommend to the Department for Infrastructure as part of the pilot scheme, shall explore further ways to work with all relevant partners to develop school streets and support measures to cut vehicle emissions, pollution in the vicinity of schools, including enforceable no idling zones, air quality measures, and tree planting as part of the 1 Million Trees Initiative. Chair, the seconder by Councillor Gallagher. Chair, the schools street scheme was first highlighted by my SDLP colleagues on Belfast City Council. And through working with them, I have discussed the pilot with SusTrans to understand how this could improve our local school streets. The school street scheme has the potential to address some of the road safety concerns our local schools face on a daily basis. I can think locally in Downpatrick, where Our Ladies in St Patrick's Primary School in Ever Street has many challenges that the school have highlighted, and through the DA forum have asked the council to get DFI and statutory agencies around the table to make their schools safer for their pupils, their families and their staff. A school street pilot could be implemented that would see the outside of the school pedestrianised at drop-off and pick-up times. This has significant improvement opportunities that children are going to school safely, but also reduces the congestion being faced along this street at the two key times. This is only one example for where a street pilot could deliver positive outcomes. I am sure across this chamber other councillors can present a case for a school street to be implemented in their own DEA, and we all want to ensure our schools are in a safe environment. I have touched on further areas that this will benefit through the reduced vehicle emissions and pollution in the area of schools, and as part of the Deer Tree Planting Initiative, and committing our council to continue efforts to plant trees across our district. The motion calls on the Department of Infrastructure to bring forward a school streets pilot project in our council district and identify a number that can be piloted against. Through our DA forms, we will seek agreement on the number of schools in each and recommend to DFI. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I'm happy to second, Chair.
Councillor Gallagher. Okay. Oh, anybody else want to comment? Where are we? Sorry, Councillor.
Hannah.
Councillor Hannah, yes. Sorry, Councillor Hannah, yeah. Sorry, it's a wee bit slow. Go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. Just on the motion, Councillor Sharvin, I'm happy enough there that we need to do anything we can to protect children. Should it be coming and going from school, the environment, that they're moving about in. The only thing is that it possibly was, I could see issues with this in certain schools. The one that jumps to mind immediately with me is Anna Leung. Anna Leung's along the main road, so it is the main A2. If you were to close the road there, it would cause massive, massive issues. So it would, I could see possibly the likes of schools up the country there, whether they're on more minor roads than that there, or they're in a suitable situation, because if you close schools, I know in
a lot of the schools, the children are getting out from 2 o'clock right through to after 3 o'clock, so you would have to close for nearly an hour and a half, 2 hours possibly, you know, just to let them in and out. I do see issues with that, so I do. But in general, I don't see any big problem. It'd be up to the DEA forums there, possibly, or whoever, along with the EAA, to come up with a suggested list. But in that there, I don't see an issue, really, with us on it. It's just, as I said to you, there will be schools that will sit, and there will be schools that will not sit. So, Chair, we will be supporting this.
Mr. Reilly.
Yes, Chairman, I just emphasise what Glenn said. I was thinking of Annalaun, thinking of St. Colman's, St. Kilcade, St. Columbus, and Kilcade. If St. Columbus and St. Colman's closed simultaneously to allow students out, the whole of Kilcade would be blocked off for how long? You know, it just, so you would have to be very selective in what schools you would use it in. On a chairman, in the likes of St. Colman's, the parish that runs the school, there's a whole big bit of ground there that's not used for anything, and it could take all that school buses and everything off the road, and it would make it a lot safer. And I know there's a couple of schools there that the Department of Finance actually funded new parking spaces at the back of the schools. That was a good scheme. I can get you the name of the schools. But there's other ways to do it. But as I say, I've nothing against it so long as it's done in a responsible way and not that would block off the main A2 and from Kilcade to Restrepor. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. Just want to thank Councillor Sharvin for taking the motion. I think it is a really good motion, and I think in particular in our DEA there are a lot of challenges around schools, in particular, as you mentioned, Gareth, Our Lady of St. Patrick's and St. Bridget's. My colleague Cathy Mason has written to the Department for Finance, or Department for Infrastructure and Sustram, to start the conversation around getting the feasibility of this project going. And I do agree with Glenn, you know, it won't be without its challenges, especially for residents who may feel they're going to be hemmed in at those given times. But I do think, given the safety issues, and in particular the fact that there has been a couple of accidents along the road there at Edward Street, that we really do need to explore all avenues and really make the school zones a safe place. So thanks, Gareth.
Councillor Cairns.
Yes, I'd just like to say, as someone who works in a school, I see the issues around traffic on a daily basis, and I would welcome this motion if it's in a suitable situation.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Cairns. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thank you. Chair, yeah, happy to support the motion. I think we're all committed, you know, to do all we can to improve safety outside schools. And, you know, I serve as a member of Board of Governors on a number of schools, and there has been challenges, you know, at them schools in terms of traffic safety. I think the only thing is, and it already has been said, I don't think it could be applicable for every school, given the layout and nature of, you know, the road networks in some areas. And I think of my own village of Bessbrook, where, you know, Bessbrook Primary School and St. Joseph's are on the main street. You're practically shutting off the main street, and Declan, you would know that as well. And the other alternative route to avoid that would be along Dermore Road where St. Peter's is. So you're really hemming off Bessbrook at that stage. So it wouldn't be without its challenges, and I just don't think it is applicable to every school. But listen, it's definitely worth a pilot, and if it can be rolled out in as many schools as possible, that would be a positive thing. So happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray.
Yes, Chair. Certainly happy to support someone who, when they can, get the pleasure of walking my children to school. It's not sometimes slightly fraught in trying to negotiate the traffic. So certainly, if this could be done, and if it increased pedestrian walking to schools from our towns, which generally aren't too far away, and certainly in the town villages, certainly be very, very good. Certainly very supportive of it, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. We'd like to put an amendment, which I'd propose, and Andy would second. On the second last line, where it says no idling zones, we'd like to put in extending the 20-mile-an-hour scheme to all main roads, comma, and continue on with the motion, Chair. There are quite a number of schools that were left out of the 20-mile-an-hour zone in rural areas because they ran out of money. A case in point would be Strangford Village, where the department says it had Strangford Village on the list. And as you know, people raced down to the ferry through Strangford past that particular school. Mm-hmm. And they've written back to us telling us they ran out of money before the 20-mile-an-hour scheme could be applied to all relevant schools. So I'm requesting that Councillor Sharvin consider adding in, after no idling zones, comma, and finish the 20-mile-an-hour limits outside of schools on main roads. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Sharvin, do you see that as practical within your...
No, Chair, I'll not be accepting the amendment, and the reasons for that is there is already a scheme in place within the Department of Infrastructure for rolling out the 20 miles per hour zone. I'm sure that Councillor Enright, like myself and any other councillor in this chamber, has written to the Department of Infrastructure highlighting the skills that we feel require 20 miles per hour zone where it's appropriate. So I feel like it doesn't fit with this motion at all, and it may be more useful to bring a motion back to this council on that basis.
Okay, it's your prerogative, Councillor Sharvin. Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, I wouldn't go as far to say I'd be happy with the whole scheme, but certainly as a pilot, it would need to be done on very much on a selective basis, because I can think of St Coleman, St Columban's, Avalon Primary School, particularly those in the A2. I can see a massive problem there, 1.5-2 hours of almost a stalling, and there's no easy way around it. There's very few ways of diverting traffic on that part of the A2, and I would have been more keen that the 20 mile per hour thing was rolled out maybe at least to every school. That could be done. I think that really does work. I really do see myself, and I do myself, slow away down when you see those signs. I believe they work well. One of the things I did notice, and I'm getting far away from Yuri Morning down here, one time in Florida on holiday, I noticed that when a school bus pulls up outside a school, it doesn't pull beside the curb, it stops in the middle of the road, and that all traffic must stop, and you're not allowed to pass that bus until the bus moves off again. So obviously children getting off or getting on, and I thought that was a really good safe thing there. So no, the idea is both pilot okay, but it certainly would need to be done off the main thoroughfare. Thanks, Chair.
Sorry, I was remiss of me there on that amendment proposal from Councillor Enright. Councillor Enright, do you want to withdraw your proposal or would you want to take it to a vote?
I prefer to put it to a vote, Chair. It's very important they finish the 20-mile-an-hour zone, especially in the light of the number of schools that we've highlighted this evening that are on main roads, and really it isn't practical to handle that.
Could you read out your amendment again, please?
So, after no idling zones, to extend the 20-mile-an-hour zone to all rural villages and towns in...
Yeah, and seconded by Councillor McMurray.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will put that...
Sorry, I had extended 20-mile-an-hour scheme outside schools at all main roads.
Chair, point of information.
Point of order.
Chair, point of information.
Chair, Councillor Ward.
Yeah, when there's amendments tabled that change the motion, it's actually the direct opposite of the motion. You're talking about closing streets, and now the amendment is about reducing speed on streets. Now, if you're going to say which streets are outside main roads, I mean, you're getting into you're going to have to list all the schools. So by putting an amendment like that, changes the motion so much that it becomes the opposite, and it actually becomes a substantial part of the motion, and it's all about reducing the speed on the streets rather than closing the streets. So
are you saying that's a direct negative?
Yeah, it is a direct negative. It's not only not closing the road, it's reducing the speed and keeping it open. So it's keep the road open is the amendment, so it can't be taken.
Okay, just let me give a second here to get a cadence on it. Yeah, well, on the basis that it would appear to be a direct negative, Councillor Enright, because you're talking about keeping the road open as opposed to closing it.
So on that basis...
Chairperson, I'm not suggesting we don't do this scheme, but there are certain areas where council pointed out to my where it's simply not practical, because you're talking about main roads or the road going past the school down to the Strangford Ferry.
What the motion is considering is where we do do the scheme. So I think
it was, it was one of a number in it, with a comma after it.
I don't think even whether you put a comma or brackets or square brackets around it, Councillor Enright, it's nothing but other than a direct negative, so I'm reading that out of order. So we move on. Are we in? Somebody else is to speak. New point of information, Pete. Nobody else? Okay, are we in general agreement with the motion?
Chair, can I just sum up?
Yes, we can, yeah.
Look, I appreciate Councillor Enright, and we all agree about 20 miles per hour, but I think we've articulated on that. To my fellow councillors that mentioned about where it's not suitable and acceptable, you know, I am aware, even in my own DA, where it is not suitable for such a scheme, but that's why I'm asking through the DA forums that we all work together to identify those schools that could be a pilot, because I certainly wouldn't want to close a road that there's no other road that they can get to or around. So, but look, Chair, it's good to hear that there's consensus. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Item number 27 is an emergency motion received from Councillor Brennan. And for the motion to be heard this evening, there need to be a suspension of standing orders. And this requires a qualified majority vote of not less than 80% of the members present and voting. So just on this, in relation to the motion, I want to bring in Nora to give us a bit of legal guidance on it, given the fact that there is a potential live investigation going on here. So, Nora, could you come in before we...
Yes. Thank you, Chair. In respect of this notice of motion, I completely understand why members would wish to discuss it, and there's no issue with discussing the generalities in respect of this notice of motion, but it's just to remind members that there is an ongoing PSNI investigation, so members shouldn't stray into any detail of the specifics of the incident or any alleged participants in relation to same. So no issue in relation to the generality in respect of this notice of motion, but just that word of caution.
Okay, so we take a roll call then in relation to... Are we not going to take the vote first?
No, sorry. Chair, I'm sorry. Based on the advice that we have been given there, I don't see how you can discuss the motion, because it's relating specifically to an incident. And we have been told here by even mentioning the incident...
Chair, well, to be honest,
potentially an impact on the live investigation. I'm happy to have.
No, Councillor, I asked and sought legal advice on the motion. I was told that it could be heard tonight, providing that members were careful in what they said. So I wanted to.
But Chair, based on what Nora has told us there, if you mention the incident,
the names are.
No. What was said there was about the incident as well, and so I'm happy to have a discussion on it. But I'm just want to make sure, from a legal point of view,
Nora, can you re-clarify? Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's really if members get into any detail in respect of the incident in terms of any potential alleged perpetrators, etc. So it's just because there is an ongoing PSNI investigation, so you shouldn't say anything that would prejudice that investigation. But I do understand that members may wish to discuss it in general terms. And in very general terms, it would be competent to discuss it. I will be on the call, and if I feel that members are straying too far, I will intervene, Chair.
So I was going to suggest that if the members do stray in their comments, that you would interject immediately, if that's possible, please.
Chair, could I ask the legal advice a question?
Pardon?
Could I ask the legal advice a question?
Yes, go ahead, Councillor Hannah.
Nora, just... with reading the notice of motion there, it mentions in it there the targeting of a school in this instance is particularly sinister. Do you not think, Nora, that is inappropriate, and to say the least, and the SGR will be establishing that there's been a sinister, and whatever way you want to use that word, shouldn't be used in this at all?
In what context, Councillor Hall?
Sinister. What does sinister mean? There's underlying tones there, so there is, you know, there's something wrong. So I would suspect that would be conveying what Councillor Taylor is talking about.
I don't believe that there's an issue with using that word, Councillor Hall. I think, again,
it's about, you can discuss the generalities of the incident, but when we get, if we get too specific, I will intervene. But I mean, I suppose that's a judgment call as to whether or not what happened was sinister. That's not, it's not an offence necessarily for something to be sinister, depending on the whole overall context of something. But I will guide the committee, or will guide the council in terms of the discussion.
Okay. Well, who else come in there? Councillor O'Murray?
Thanks, Chair. It was just allay David's fears. We've thought long and hard about this motion. We spoke to Marie beforehand. I contacted yourself about the motion. We made clear from the start that we weren't going to get into making accusations or levelling any sorts of accusations against anybody or at anyone's door. We're going to try and make it as general as possible in a call for respect around schools. Is that okay?
Yep. So, Councillor McKevitt, do you have a point of order?
Yeah, Chair, I just wanted to know where members of the PCSP would stand, as this was partly discussed at the last meeting.
In what context? Being able to vote?
Information. On the incident.
Yeah, again, I think that's probably where I would be intervening, Councillor McKevitt. If you do get into the details of the incident, then that would cause a problem. But I think, again, I know I sound like a broken record, but there's no issue with discussing the generalities. But once you start to get into detail, that's where the risk is.
Yeah, Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's just a note that I am a member of the board of governors of this school, and that the school or the EA or the board of governors were not consulted about this motion, and therefore have no opinion to offer on it. And I will be very conscious that any comments that I make may be confused with that position of the school, and for that basis I'm going to abstain and not comment.
Right, are you declaring an interest, Councillor Lewis, as you're a member of the Board of Governors?
I am, yes indeed, yes, thank you.
Okay. Councillor Hannan.
Can I just ask why that interest wasn't actually declared at the PCSP? Because you commented at that forum.
I did say that I was a member of the Board of Governors at the PSV, and that I had been... Yeah. And I said, through the chair, I said that I was a member of the Board of Governors and had met with the police in regard to this incident. I didn't offer any comment on the incident other than to outline the facts of what I had done as a member of the Board of Governors, and I am confident that there was no declaration of interest, and the point that's a closed meeting, whereas this isn't a closed meeting, and any comments that I make may be confused with the position of the school.
Okay, so we'll move to, as I say, an emergency motion, and requires a qualified majority of not less than 80% of members. So we're going to do a roll call to see if we can suspend standing orders to hear the motion.
It's a recorded vote.
Recorded vote.
Councillor Andrews?
Four.
Councillor Bowsey?
Abstain.
Councillor Brennan?
Four.
Councillor Burgess?
Four.
Councillor Byrne? Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin?
Four.
Councillor Enright?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Gallagher?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Jackson?
Abstain.
Councillor Kern?
Four.
Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Four.
Councillor Lewis has abstained. Oh, sorry. Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone's absent. Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy's absent. Councillor McKee?
Abstained.
Councillor McKevitt?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
4.
Councillor Murphy?
4.
Councillor O'Hare?
4.
Councillor Murray?
4.
Councillor Riley?
Abstain.
Councillor Rice?
4.
Councillor Wan?
4.
Councillor Savage?
4.
Councillor Sharvin?
4.
Councillor Stokes? Councillor Taylor?
4.
Councillor Tinley?
4.
Councillor Trainer?
4.
Okay, so I have 32 for, none against, and 5 abstentions. So the qualified majority has been met.
Just Chair, for the record, if somebody declares an interest, they should leave for the duration of the discussion.
Yeah, Chair, I had to put a point of order in there. I was going to ask the same question as well.
Just about to ask Councillor Lewis if you could... No, you're okay. That's okay. Just if you declare an interest, you have to leave for the duration of the debate. Thank you. Okay, Councillor Brennan, can you read out your motion, please? Speak to it and advise who is seconding the motion, please.
Thank you, Chair. This will be seconded by Councillor O'Murray. This Council condemned in the strongest possible terms the recent erection of intimidatory and anti-Irish signage outside the school in the village of Clough. Council recognises that this was a clear attempt to threaten and intimidate school children and their families, and is the latest in an ongoing campaign by some individuals to mark out territory and intimidate both people living in and travelling through the area. Council acknowledges that the naming and targeting of a school in this incident was particularly sinister, and calls on anyone with any information or knows responsible for these actions to come forward and assist police with their inquiries immediately. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. You want to speak to the motion?
Yes.
Sorry, who was seconding the motion?
Councillor Murray.
Councillor Murray, okay.
This was a blatant incident of anti-Irish racism. Those responsibly despicably took aim at a school children and their families, sinisterly naming a school and attempting to intimidate. Such naked displays of hate have no place in the tolerant and inclusive island many of us are working hard to build. It's about time we said enough is enough, and I am delighted that we have been given the opportunity to bring this motion to give us a chance to collectively condemn this incident. As representatives and leaders in our communities, we have a duty to stand against this type of racist behaviour and show leadership. Shared education is a valued and respected part of our education systems, and there are examples all across the North of the success that these projects can bring to wider school communities, furthering respect, teaching tolerance, and building greater understanding. The fact that any school would be singled out and targeted in an incident like this is shocking and a throwback to darker days. And while some might like to take us back to those darker days, they won't succeed. We are committed to an inclusive and diverse society based on equal rights and equal opportunities for all. In concluding my remarks, I would also like to say that incidents like this are a clear indication that laws to tackle hate crimes and sectarianism must be strengthened so those responsible can be properly held under account to the law. Gore Mahagov.
Okay. So where are you seconding?
Yeah. Is that echoed? No. Yeah, Chair, very happy to second this motion. As a teacher in a school who's very proud of the shared education program that we run, I teach in a Gael school in Cross MacLean, and our partner school is Market Hill Primary School. We've been partnered up for between 10 and 12 years. The children get on very, very well. The teachers get on very, very well. There's a great partnership struck up between staff and between children in the school. And I think everybody would agree that the very youngest in our society, if children learn to play together and to be educated together and to mix together and to play music together and to play sport together, it's going to be for the benefit of society in the future. To see anybody taking a pot shot at shared education is particularly sad, and I would hate to think that. I know for a fact, to see if it was in the school that I work in Cross MacLean, and somebody hung a sign up to say that children from Market Hill weren't welcome, I would bring a motion myself condemning it and calling for it. No matter what school it was, no matter what children it was, it's never right, it's never good. So look, I hope that everyone will understand this motion wasn't about pointing fingers, or it wasn't about trying to get anybody in trouble or anything. It's about a combined call and a united call for complete, right, against this, you know, complete, what do you call the word? What's the word in English? What do you call it when you're against something? Use it again, Aberhan. What do you call it? What?
No surrender.
Opposition. Or opposition to that. I could have said it in Irish. Yeah, our opposition to this. So, got to be the maggot. Gerlach.
Okay. I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one who's losing their marbles, isn't he? Okay. Who have we got? Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. Can I say, if this council considers the nature of motions being brought forward, I don't believe is the type of motion we should be bringing forward. This actually brings division, so it does. I can think of a number of occasions where even one of our own councillors here in the DUP was threatened, so it was written on signposts, so it was, and no notice of motion was brought. I believe Sinn Féin are using this so they are to promote, I do not know what their own agenda, so they are. And we're now going to allow every opinion and every DUA to possibly bring in a motion like this here. It's wrong. It's simply wrong, so it is, because I can think of a number of occasions there lately we could have brought motions which, and there is ongoing investigations by the police into, which would have been very, very similar, if not worse. I know what Boris is there. This is involving children, so it is, and children should never be exposed to anything like this at all. Any form of whatever you'd want to call it, unnecessary, I don't know what the word would be there, I'm worse than Barra, but I'm saying that this incident is a part of the ongoing police investigation, and we await the result. For this council to declare anything as sinister, and I did ask Nora about it there, so I did, I believe it's totally wrong, and I believe there that whenever you declare it as sinister, it is an influence, so it is, and what possibly could be what's conceived in the population, without any proof of the offender or the intention, is ridiculous and a waste of time of ratepayers' money that we're even considering it here, so it is. Just on the whole incident there, it's regrettable, I would agree there. But to be quite honest with you, for Sinn Féin to do this, and then I've seen their senior members in their party actually putting up other, I don't know, creating other posters and putting it on their social media, I think it's just totally wrong. So it is to be actually using it, promoting it, and there is, I don't think there's any, there only is the one school in Clough, so there is the other school that was visiting, I assume they're from that area, so there is Castle Well. It's just something wrong with children, but in saying all that, I don't know who it was that done this. They are entitled to have their opinions, so they are. I don't know if it was meant as intimidatory or what way they meant it. Nobody knows what's in them people's heads. But in saying that, I think it's wrong that Sinn Féin have used it in the way they've used it here at the moment. So there is, Irish speakers are welcome to speak Irish, so it's entirely up to themselves how they teach their children. But the people that actually have put up this poster are entitled to their views. They are entitled to put up a poster, so they are. Whether it's legal or illegal, so it's up to the police. The police are investigating it at this moment in time. And just some of the notes is even in that notice of motion about traffic passing through. That school is well out of the way, so there's no passing traffic really there. So there's not. It's over the top, the motion, so it is. And I just think it should never have came to this council. So we will not be supporting it, so we'll not.
Okay, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Gallagher.
Just on a previous speaker, first of all, I want to thank Councillor Brennan for bringing this. I mean, it's not someone's opinion. It's actual, something's happened. This is a school that is mixed. parents have contacted and concerned and worried. This is a great school. I mean, it is tantamount to hate crime, irrespective of what way you want to look at it. Fortunately, it's a very small minority within that area. And the wider community within this area are against it and have contacted me and are very frustrated and angry that they're almost being tarred with the same brush. There's no call for it. You know, I would urge anybody who knows anything, obviously contact the police. I mean, this itself causes division within community, fear, anxiety. This is 2023. There's no need for this. You know, to put anything up anywhere, irrespective of where it is, it's not a right. Sorry? Anything, any councillor that is abused in any whatsoever, I have no qualms, you know, totally, that is not right. It's not, you know, irrespective of that side, totally agree with you. None of that should come up in any councillor whatsoever. But we're talking about children within an educational system and a school that is very highly recommended and does a lot of work for the community. It is just not right. And again, anyone has any information, definitely please contact the PSNI. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Councillor McMurray.
thank you, Chair. And I suppose, you know, we supported the standing orders this to be heard or suspending, but it wasn't truthfully without my personal concerns as to whether a motion such as this aids or hinders reconciliation. And, you know, I'm going to take my time in addressing every point that the motion makes. So this council condemns the strongest possible terms, recent erection of Timory and anti-Irish signage outside a school in the village of Clark. As many as know, I work with the children and young people in the outdoors. I take them walking in the hills. There's one hill whose name I love, Sleeve Loch Shanna. Translated loosely, and I'll take correction, the hill by the lake where the fox lives. And that's just beautiful. The Irish language connects us and gives meaning to the places we live. So as such, I wholeheartedly agree in the first instance, and given various policies in regarding languages, would also assume that this would be supported by council. Council recognises that this is a clear attempt to threaten and intimidate children and their families, and is the latest and ongoing campaign by some individuals to mark our territory and intimidate both people living and travelling through the area. If I take this in 2 points. Again, I reflect on the group of children I had at the centre last week, very diverse bunch. The children mix with each other as if it's the most natural thing in the world, because it is. And put up with me tripping up over their names, but light up when I get their name right. Those that would seek to see our children stumble out of their natural predisposition to tolerance is incredibly upsetting for me. As for the marking out of territory, I've no doubt that it is, and this is not conducive to a shared society. I'm also minded, though, that, again, I undertook a cycle journey along a wee squiggly line, and without going into the results of a rough tally that I took, you know, we do have issues in marking out territory in this country. Council acknowledges that the naming and targeting of the school in this instance was particularly sinister, simply and categorically yes. However, and I don't want to elaborate too much on this point as there are two schools involved, I've not had a chance to speak to the principal of one school involved, so we don't want to comment about them without them. The other school directly involved are incredibly saddened by what has happened, and other than that, I don't really want to say much more. If anyone calls information to the responsible for these accidents come forward and assist the police inquires immediately, yes. Of course, as I understand it, the PSNI were called, so presumably any information can be passed on with the understanding that it will be treated with the utmost confidence. And again, also, again, as Barry stated himself, praise must go ever to remove this sign, because again, that was an incredibly brave act, I would suggest, too. Finishing up, really, you know, through loyalty or ideology, sometimes we do feel duty-bound to tolerate issues which others would find intolerable, and sometimes justification of such objection or support leads invariably to an action of prejudice by which we can all object to. So in conclusion, I come back to my concerns on the motion. Not in any way disagree with the points that it makes, but again, sometimes it just, I don't really see solutions to the issues at hand here, which are certainly widespread. But again, certainly support the motion in the general context, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, listen, I'm not going to say that I didn't have concerns about the wording of this motion, but wouldn't stifle any debate on it, and obviously happy to have that discussion. And certainly in the first instance, the first thing I would say is that it was wrong that the signs was placed at the school and it shouldn't have happened. And if anybody has any information that would assist the police with inquiries to do that, to pass that information on. I think probably, you know, I'm not a local rep, obviously, for the Slieve, Croob and Clock area. And I think probably the one concern that I had was regarding the latest ongoing campaign by some of the individuals to mark out territory and intimidate people. I don't know what that actually means. You know, if you could elaborate further on that, what do you mean by marking out territory? And again, if it is what I think it may be, then there's a much wider discussion to have about generally, I could name many areas where I feel intimidated by marking out territory. And that's where I have a concern here. You've actually ended up probably diluting the motion. You could have made a very, very clear signal to say it was wrong what happened and everybody could have went behind that. But in the wording that you've used, you're actually setting conflicting messages in many ways, because I just don't know what that means. And I would like that to be outlined further as to what you mean by marking out territory. I'm not aware of any ongoing campaign of intimidation either. I've not been aware of anything in the press or even within the locality. If someone could outline further to me what that means as well. But certainly I think it's important to note that it was wrong and it shouldn't have happened and people should assist the police with their inquiries. But I have concerns about the wording and the motion and some of the meanings what's behind some of the lines that have been used in it.
Okay. Councillor McKee.
Yeah, hear myself.
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yes, we can, Harold. Yeah, go ahead.
Unfortunately, I hear myself echoing here, whatever's going on. Do you think I'm okay now?
Justin, Harold.
Sorry?
I say you need to come out of the bathroom.
No, I'm not even. I'm not there yet, but I don't know what's going on there. I think I'm okay now. Yeah, I was echoing there. I'm okay now. You know, Chair, again, as we'll all say, I don't have a problem with anyone who wants to speak the Irish language, if that's what they want to do, just like learning any language. But I do have a concern with the fact that it's been brought forward as a notice of motion in relation. I honestly think, genuinely think, and I know Mara will probably say I'm wrong in even thinking this, but I really do believe that Sinn Féin are using this as a means of politicising the Irish language, politicising the whole thing about the poster. And I can assure you that to me that was wrong, that poster was ever placed there, and I certainly wouldn't encourage anyone to do it that way. There has to be other ways and means of raising it, perhaps with the school. But Looking at Clark itself as a pretty predominantly unionist, stroke loyalist area, and I can, in a sense, can understand why they are up in arms about Irish language going to be spoken, I guess, in the school. I am surmising that's what the idea is. But I think, to be honest with you, Sinn Féin are using this because we have to speak in generality terms with the word was used a while ago, so we can't hone in too close on it. But I have a concern that in recent times, Sinn Féin are bringing forward a number of notice of motions and any debate they have on sort of generally speaking, wanting Irish to be brought to the fore. It's It seemed to be a part of their new United Ireland talks, I guess, they're going to their new stand. So, it's not that long ago we had in this council notice of motion brought forward on hurrying up the implication of the Irish Language Act, which was agreed at St Andrews, and it also stayed at the number of days since a few thousand days, and it was hoped that it would be brought forward. But again,
you can see why. I can see why the people of Clark are not happy about this, because at the end of the day, is it Irish language, or is it any language that Sinn Féin are talking about? Because it wasn't the Unionist stroke loyalists who spoke about Irish being capable of being deployed as a weapon in the freedom struggle. So that type of language is not promoting Irish language, I think, as I would say it. So I think there certainly needs to be discussion on the whole thing generally, but not, I believe, in the way that it's coming. Because there's so much out there that Irish language, even the very funding of it, has been ring-fenced, and we know the NHS and the schools the schools have even been asked to maybe have to drop some of their lollipop people, because they can't even afford children to go to school. So they can't afford children to go safely to school. Would it not be more important to go safely to school than to learn Irish language?
Okay, no problem, Councillor McKee. Thank you for your comments. Sorry for cutting across you, but we've had a long night and I'm trying to get everybody time in here to speak. Councillor Murphy.
I'll try and be brief. Okay, so the point I was going to make is that, you know, this council and all of us as councillors, we all sign up to good relations. We put an awful lot of emphasis on good relations, and you know, we have the peace partnership. A lot of money has been spent, and many people around this chamber have signed off on that. You know, so we are duty bound to tackle sectarianism, you know, wherever we see it. And I think this is a fairly blatant, particularly for the people that are on the receiving end of this particular sign. Maybe for some of the people who put it up wouldn't think that, or maybe some people who support it wouldn't think that, but people who are on the receiving end, they certainly would see it as intimidatory and sectarian. And it is up to us to call it out, all of us. It wasn't Sinn Féin that decided that there'd be Irish spoken in that particular school. There was a programme of reconciliation. That was the school itself and other schools. That's to do with education. It's to do with the stuff that we promote, and they have to be commended for it. Obviously, somebody didn't like that. I know I've attended many events to do with Ulster Scots, particularly in the Bay House and other places like that, and nobody tried to intimidate us. And, you know, if anybody did from the Republican or National side, we most definitely, as Boris said, we'd be the first to call it out. You know, so I think there is a duty. I have no problem discussing this, but you can't speak out of both sides of your mouth. We'll have to call a spade a spade. It is sectarian. And either we're pro-good relation or otherwise. You just can't have it both ways.
Okay, Councillor O'Hare.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Yeah, the first time I seen this here was from my children's social media. It's either TikTok or Instagram. My children, they go through the IME section in St. Malachy's, you know. So they come down to me and, God, it must have been about maybe 9:30 at night, saying, what is this all about, Daddy, you know? What's wrong with the Irish language? Like, why is people dislike it for? So you're trying to explain to teenagers, which can be tough, you know, without being bigoted, you know. But it's just the ignorance of people over a language. Like, this school teaches French. I think it teaches Spanish as well, you know. So it's just ignorant and stupid of people to make this about a language that belongs to everybody. It doesn't belong to one community. So just wise up, for God's sake. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, folks. Just want to make a brief comment on this myself before we conclude the debate and Councillor Benham wraps up. You know, I have huge respect for both these schools. I'm right all over the district as chair and have been, and done a lot of work to make sure that there's good outreach and that we set a good example. And part of that's good relations. And it was quite pertinent that at the chair's ball in the speech I made, I talked about difference and diversity and respect for it. And what I can tell you is, we know in both schools, they're way ahead of some of our political leaders from both sides of our so-called divide here. And that I actually had one of the groups of school children in this chamber. And sometimes it had a lot more sense sitting here in some of the meetings that you would sit as a chair. They're light years ahead of the rest of us. As Councillor McMurray said, meeting and greeting and getting on together comes natural to them. And as I said in the dinner on Friday night, you know, difference is the essence of humanity, as Hume said, and the only way to deal with difference is to respect it. And I think that when you don't respect difference, it leads to hatred and conflict. And we have a duty as elected reps to show an example whereby we reach out and we understand each other and we have respect for each other. And the people who were involved in this obviously had no respect for, I think, for themselves, never mind anybody else, but for the beautiful school children who go to that school. It's a very diverse school. It's a very inclusive school. It's got deeply committed teachers because they were here and they loved every minute of their time here. And the way they all got on and had a conversation and chatted here about what it meant to them and their district and the place they call home. So what I want to basically outline the fact that what was there was absolutely no reflection to the impression I've had of that school and the couple of visits that I've had there. And I've no doubt the same for the school that was mentioned in the banner. And I think it does nothing for our community, the people who thought that placing that there was doing anything other than harm. And I think, as Councillor Murphy's outlined, we have a duty to highlight these things. I think we do need to be very careful about the language that we use. And I think we also do need to do what we can to reach out and set an example. And I think it's very important that we do respect difference and make sure that we do our best as community leaders and leaders politically to set an example that others will follow. Councillor Brennan, do you want to sum up?
Thank you, Chair. I will, and I'll make it really brief. It's 9:20. Just one of the things I just wanted to pick on was where Councillor McKee said it's clear that the people of Clock are not happy with this. That seems to suggest that the people of Clock were responsible for putting up the sign. And knowing some people in Clock, trust me, there were certain individuals decided to put that sign up, and it's not reflective of the people in the village of Clock. When it comes to the motion, it was questioned. We defend this, our decision to bring up this motion before the council. Any time we think there's a hate crime, we're going to shine a light, and I think that's our duty as political representatives. Sinead Mulebuhas.
Do we have general consensus in the chamber? No, then we'll have to take it to a vote. Roll call, please.
Councillor Andrews?
For.
Councillor Boisey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Burgess?
Abstain.
Councillor Byrne? Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Kern? For. Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hannah?
James.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Hyle?
Or.
Councillor Jackson?
Against.
Councillor Kearns?
Or.
Councillor King?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Sergener?
For.
Councillor Lewis is out of the room. Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Malone is absent. Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt?
For.
Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor Murphy? Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor Murray?
For.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
For.
Councillor Rowan?
For.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Stokes? Councillor Taylor?
Abstain, Chair, and I just want to outline my disappointment that it was no attempt to provide any explanation to a query I raised in respect to the wording of the motion, so...
Councillor Tinley?
For.
Councillor Traynor?
For.
So I have 29 for, 5 against, and 2 abstentions.
Okay, motion carried. Just before you all depart, I'd just like to thank Nora for her presence here tonight and her invaluable role in relation to giving guidance to us all keeping us all right. It's been a long meeting, folks. Safe home. Thank you very much for your attendance. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.